It's 88.5 KCSN. This is a Tarit. We get to welcome Rodney Crow to the studio. Welcome.
How are you, Scott?
It's, you know what, sometimes I get a little apprehensive because I don't know if there's a question you haven't been asked or answered, but I'm going to try my best today to come up with at least one.
Well, don't put too much pressure on yourself.
The same way you approach songcraft.
Right.
I have to come up with a good gem here.
I understand. It's like always keep the carrot out in front of you, and you'll continue to get better.
We'll nibble on one today together. You know, I first became aware of you back in 78 with Ain't Living Long Like This, and I have to confess, the title of the album probably spoke to me because I was sort of living a life where that seemed like something I should check out. And yeah. Since then, I've become such a fan. You know, the new album, Close Ties, that represents, I guess, when you approached that record, it was a loose concept album in your original sense, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, informed by what was going on around me, referenced I Ain't Living Long Like This. And as I was writing and coming in, you know, circling the wagons around the record that became Close Ties, people close to me were leaving this earth, specifically Guy Clark, you know, who's a close friend of mine, but also my business manager of 35 years, and a lot of other people that I know, Merle Haggard, who I knew well, and so I wouldn't say it's grief, but I write about death a lot, and I was thinking about driving over here, and I said, what if I become the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross of songwriters, because I've done it quite a bit, and I get most of the mail that I get. Honestly, I'm not exaggerating about this. People like things I wish I'd said, or I know love is all I need. People send me notes saying I played this at my loved one's funeral, or we sang it, or that's good. But as I was the close ties part of it is that people really close to me were drifting away from me, not only in. You know, leaving the earth, but you know, relationships as we get older, you know, stay together so that we stay alive, you know, in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
You know, you live long enough, you raise a family, and that community starts to spread itself out a little bit. And I was thinking, as people I loved and cared about were leaving, it's like, you know, how do I, you know, bring the circle back in closer?
Have you found, you know, and it's almost salient to your point. I find myself sadly seeing, you know, my long-term friends, the friends of 10, 20, 30 years, the only time I see them is at funerals.
Mm.
And we always say, why do we only meet under these? We need to see each other more often.
I know.
And then it's sadly the next funeral that we all see each other again.
I saw Ben Vaughn last night, old friend and songwriting partner of mine, and we were going, I said, man, it's good to see you. You look great. You know, God, it has been 10 years. And he says, try 26.
Wow.
And it's like, I hadn't seen Ben in 26 years. And there he was. And our connection was just like 15 minutes had passed. But I said, sorry, man, on me. It's like, I love you. I should find you in the world. I should know what's going on with you rather than knowing that you're doing a lot of great television music. You know, I should know what's happening. Luckily, I'm going to see him again today, but you got to take responsibility for staying connected to people you love and that are important.
Okay, this is called East Houston Blues. Well, I grew up hungry, and I grew up hard. Took the streets and alleys from my own backyard. I got a breaking in on my list of crimes. Been before the judge, one too many times. East Houston blues, scale of 1 to 10, about a 9.5 is where it's always been. It's in the drinking water and in a barn ditch mud. East Houston blues gets in a poor boy's blood. I learned to drink and drive when I was 12 years old. My uncle Fireball started, rest his ragged soul. He ran a 54 foot up and down the drag, sipping early time straight from a paper bag. East Houston blues pictured Dallin Street and Navigation Boulevard where the crossroads meet. Three sheets in a wind, brick shy of a load. East Houston blues down on the railroad. $40 boots, Big Ben Gore hat, stolen money from an inside job. Oh, maybe think about that. I'm a third boy child, my mother's only son, which means exactly nothing without a loaded gun. I don't believe in love, this I guarantee. If there's a God above, he's got it in for me. East Houston blues, what do you want me to say? I need to find me a woman, keep the wolves at bay. Keep my head on straight, I may be toe the line. East Houston blues ain't no friend of mine. So you understand that of which I speak, I'm a worried man on a losing streak.
You've gained an ability to find clarity and have focus and literally to mine your memories.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, you know, in an earlier part of our lives, perhaps we weren't as lucid and clear-headed as we'd like to be. But when you are able to really go back and think of the moments, both some personal, some perhaps just an idea, you know, a third person fictional notion. That's a big part of finding a song, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I've never fictional emotion. Good word. Thank you for that. That's. I'm going to think on that one because a lot of like there's a song on Close Ties called 40 Miles from Nowhere at the Bottom of the World. And it is entirely fictional emotion. And it's written from the point of view of widowerhood, a man who's lost his woman could, you know, the sexes could change easily, obviously. But I projected myself into to the future. Were I to lose my wife and my closest companion and mate, what would that be like? And I think that would be a real challenge for me, spiritually, physically, emotionally, on every sense. So if with your permission, I'm going to use that because 40 Miles from Nowhere is emotional fiction.
And sadly, you know, many times when we are hit with those, it provides, you know, I hate to use the word fodder, you know, but it does provide you that accurate sense of, this is how hard it hit me.
Yeah.
This is how it hit me. And that often creates, you know, those songs that resonate with a lot of people, as you mentioned, the people that write you those letters. There's something in there where there's a moment, there's a phrase, there's mm-hmm. something where you're inside my experience. How did you know this was going to happen to me?
Well, you know, I learned really early on that if you get a song right for, and I've said this, that in songwriting, if I'm patient enough, my job is patience in songwriting, because if I wait long enough and I have the patience, the song will tell me what it wants to be, and I can uncover the words that it's trying to get to me to go with the melody. That melodies come to me more quickly than language. I spend a lot more time on language than I do melody. But if I get it right, it's my song, but a song that's been gotten right, like so many Bob Dylan songs or so many Leonard Cohen songs, once they get out there in the world, they belong to the listener. They belong, that is your song. And your relationship to that song as it's happening in that intimate moment, you may be a fan of the originator, but that's your experience.
This was called I Don't Care Anymore. Used to pull my britches on with just one thing in mind, make the girls believe that I'm the last one of my kind. Silver toe tips on my boots and a mullet head of hair, designed to walk into the room and make somebody stare. But I don't care anymore. I don't stand out in a crowd. I was better off before. I tried to make my mother proud. I came to town a dreaming I could make my mark in spades. 40-odd years later, all my best cards have been played. Well, it's a hard knock situation when the accolades bestowed on you, every last creation cries out middle of the road. But I don't care anymore about the fortune nor the fame. I was better off before. I tried to make myself a name. All that money that I blew through like some bootblack off the farm could not have vanished quicker if I'd have shot it in my arm. Some so-and-so says, don't you know the limit is the sky? Well, then the next thing I remember, I'm unlearning how to fly. But I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. All those party dolls and favors that I saved from day one add up to next to nothing after all is said and done. A real friend trying to tell me, man, with all respect for you, the time to put away these things is long since overdue. If indeed I do get lonesome in my mansion on a hill, there's this neighbor's Wi-Fi covered for her beauty and her skill. The way she puts herself together, sleek and vagabond couture, makes each mailbox conversation one more heartache to endure. But I don't care anymore. Does what and why? I was better on the phone when I was just another guy. I've been lied on, spied on, cried on, tried on, taken for a ride, you bet. Fracked, cracked, smacked, jacked. What you see is what you get. I've been spit at, hit at, quit at, bit at, shouldn't hurt a bit at what I'm trying to get at. You fooled me once, shame on me, fooled me twice and put the blame on, I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore.
Give us your take on Americana and what it means to you today and what it means to the artists you've seen, either having lived it for a while or becoming of age now.
Growing in popularity, you know, people I know who are casual music listeners. A gentleman I know in Tennessee where I live, there's a new Americana station, and they're playing me, you know, gratefully, they're playing me.
M.O.T., right?
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of airplay, and a friend comes around, he says, and our relationship is not about music or anything, it's a relationship about something else, and he says, you know, I've been hearing this radio, this Americana, I like this, and he said, God, you have all these songs. I didn't know you wrote all these songs. And he said, I've been hearing you on the radio. And I said, yeah, well, you know, thank heavens I have an Americana station. But the illustrating point about that is someone who really had incidental relationship with music, you know, whatever, you know, may go on iTunes and on a release day, used to be Tuesday, now maybe Friday, and have a shotgun, a pattern of downloading stuff that maybe wouldn't like in the long run, now goes to the Americana because, you know, there's some tone. And the old thing I said to my friend, I said, you know, you, in your own way, you have a poet's soul. And he's a man of the cloth. And his approach to religion is very poetic and thoughtful. And I said, that's what's resonating with you. And I would say Johnny Cash
is
one of the original Americana artists, poet.
They really do. And it is a populist voice that, you know, it does create, you know, they often write about, you know, the every person. And when they really, as you said earlier, strike deep, it can't help but connect us all together and really move us.
Maybe some of the early on Americana, you know, from Louis Armstrong, really,
right.
Instrumental music, the jazz is very Americana. But when you get into narrative form, you know, no doubt Woody Guthrie is pure and simple Americana. This land is your land. This land is my land. You know, hard traveling. 1913 Massacre, that narrative form, that kind of Scots-Irish, Oklahoma tragedy narrative, that's very American, brought over from the old islands, you know. But and I would go as far as, you know, to point out Jason Isbell and say, look, you know, there's a song, 24 Frames. I hear that the first time, and I go, oh, my man's a poet. John Paul White's a poet, you know. So the things that resonate with me and stay with me, and I love music and I love tracks and I love really, I was just in the loo listening to the Ray. I don't know who it was, but there was a really great sounding Stratocaster, you know, sounded like it was played through an AC-15 amp and really good. So I'm a music junkie. I love sounds. I love production. And I listen to a lot of music for that specific enjoyment. But what I come back to, and I come back to Lightnin' Hopkins and Howlin' Wolf, and I come back to Leonard Cohen and Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Waylon and Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson, I'm coming back to the poetry.
I am a feminist, so I wouldn't say goddamn to a woman if it wasn't my own fault. Maybe I was out of line, mostly I was out of touch. You lean on anger like a crutch, you're bound to take a fall. No doubt I was slow to learn. I just couldn't get the gist. So I doubled up my fist and I punched me in the wall. When you walked out on me, I took the hit in stride. I'm better off I lied. The truth may show I stood the blow, but we both know how far from grace I fell. Forgive me, Annabelle. Who'd have thought that peace of mind would find me in the end? Maybe 10 years on the mend and no getting over you. But now I'm resolute. I've seen evidence of change. At first I thought it strange and not worth clinging to. Let's set the record straight. I came around too late. Though I got there in the end, oh, you never was my friend. When you walked out on me, I tore my heart in half, and I hid behind a laugh. And as I became a slave to shame, I cursed your name. God damn you, rotten hell. Can you forgive me, Annabelle?
In the spring, you're going to be in Santa Barbara on May 7th,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to be at the Troubadour.
Mm-hmm.
On May 9th, I want to thank you for coming out. Rodney Krah, our guest today on 88.5 KCSN. Thanks for showing.
Thanks, man.
You got it.